the economy's bright spots and not-so-bright spots.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, the 20th of February. And this morning, the government said that the pace of home building in January fell 8.5% from December, but it was still the third best month for house construction since 2008. And that's where we'll start now with Gus Fauché, senior economist with PNC Financial Services. Hi, Gus.
Good morning.
Well, what do you make of these housing numbers?
Well, overall housing starts were down, but the numbers themselves were quite good. We had a very strong December with upward revisions. I think some of the weather that we had in the Northeast and Midwest weighed on starts somewhat. But if we look at single-family starts, those are at their best since the summer of 2008. So overall, a very solid report, and we expect to see further gains in home building in the near term.
Well, if you take that and put it together with some of the other news we're getting this morning, this Office Depot, Office Max deal that looks like it's finally going through, there are some who are saying this wave of mergers and acquisitions is evidence that people are getting more confident about the economy. There's also a stock market that's near a record. What should we be worried about? Because there's got to be something.
Well, there are a couple things to worry about. One is the sequester, the budget cuts that are supposed to kick in on March 1st. Those could lead to government job losses, big cuts in government contracts, government furloughs perhaps, and so that would reduce consumer spending and cause firms to become more nervous and pull back on investment. And then higher gasoline prices. Those are going to be a drag on consumer spending in the near term, along with the tax increases that we had in the Social Security payroll tax and the personal income tax.
Gus Fauché, senior economist with PNC Financial Services. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, the Daytona 500 is this Sunday, and Danica Patrick will make history as the first female driver to start in the pole position. Problem is, fewer and fewer Americans are taking the time to sit through NASCAR races these days. So NASCAR is hoping a new ad campaign will help change that. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The average NASCAR fan is 47 years old. NASCAR's new ad campaign is meant to appeal to a younger audience. It features close-ups of drivers looking tough.
In order to finish first,
somebody's got to finish second.
I hate second.
There are flashes of race cars, a couple of drivers shoving each other. Kim Brink is NASCAR's vice president for marketing. She says the idea is to highlight the suspense and drama of racing.
You never know when someone's going to crash. You never know when someone's going to pass another guy. You never know when a driver's going to get in a fight.
Brink says NASCAR is aiming its ads at Hispanics, some are in Spanish, and millennials. She says they're also targeting 8 to 12-year-olds. Will it work?
NASCAR is doing all the right things, but they may be doing it for the wrong sport.
That's brand strategist Adam Hanft. He says even a polished ad campaign won't change the fact that car racing is time-consuming.
It's a huge time suck. You're kind of in for the day.
Perhaps not the best sport for time-starved, multitasking millennials. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Well, now to a question that affects all of us. When you go out to eat at a restaurant, should you keep your receipt, leave it on the table, or throw it away? That is the subject of this week's Money Matters segment. And joining us now from Los Angeles is Patty Hirsch, the senior producer of personal finance here at Marketplace. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So, Patty, this is a situation we've all been in before. You go into a restaurant, mm-hmm. you get your receipt. There's a merchant copy and a customer copy. And do you keep that customer copy to be sure that they don't alter the tip?
Yes, you do. Now, here's the thing. The vast majority of people who work in food service are entirely honest, but it does happen on occasion that a receipt is altered by somebody in the restaurant in order to get them more money. In order to make sure it doesn't happen to you, you should always keep your original receipt. And you should do a number of things when you get that receipt. The first thing is you should write the tip amount clearly and boldly in there so that it's hard to alter. If you're not going to leave a tip, write zero. If you're going to leave a cash tip, write cash. Then there's a total section underneath, right? Never leave that total section blank. If you're not going to leave a tip, write out the total amount again. If you are going to leave a tip, make sure that you add it up correctly. Write it out there in bold again so that it's really, really difficult to alter.
And what happens if you do see a discrepancy between what you paid and what's charged to your card?
Okay, so first thing you do is you call the restaurant and point it out. Ask them for a refund. And if they're working in good faith, they'll do that for you. If the restaurant refuses to act, you should go straight to your credit card company, report the discrepancy, dispute the charge. They will investigate. They'll certainly call the restaurant, but they'll almost always make good on your credit card statement so that the money is refunded to you.
And let me just ask, I mean, aren't we moving to a world where we don't have paper receipts, where we don't have records of every single purchase that we make?
There are always going to be records of the purchase. You may not get a physical receipt. You know, if you go into the Apple store, for example, they'll often email you a copy of the receipt. So there may not be a physical paper copy, but there is always a copy. And you should always make sure that you hold on to those receipts for a time, not least if you're doing business and you want to submit those receipts for taxes. Because in the end, that's the real reason for holding on to all of those receipts. If you are running a business, is to make sure that your taxes are complete and that you're in good standing.
Patty Hirsch, Senior Producer of Personal Finance at Marketplace, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, to the financially troubled U.S. Postal Service. We knew they were ending Saturday mail delivery, but now, even more surprisingly, they are launching a new line of clothing. According to the Washington Post, it'll be called Rain, Heat, and Snow, and it'll be available in department stores and specialty stores starting next year. But if you do buy something, just don't ask them to FedEx it to you. That would not be very nice. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.